You'll get your Pew Bible and turn to page 1006. I'll be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Okay, starting at verse 13. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, I believed in God, so I spoke. We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God Himself and not by human hands.
We're going to try this today. Steve Windsor came and got my microphone, and he is attempting to repair it. So we'll see how this works out today. And by the way, Chris, I didn't know those were birthday hats. I thought that was a nose guard for me. With a nose like this. You talk too much. You worry me to... Talk too much. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, we won't go any further than that. That old song from way, way back, you talk too much. You know, sometimes people think that we talk too much, especially even preachers, or at least too long. And if you're around me enough, I'm sure there are times that you think I talk too much. Especially when you say something that I can pick up a pun and run with it. Sorry, it's a curse. But we sang earlier as well. I love to tell the story. So where are we between those two stories and songs? Do we talk too much and worry people to death? Do we love to tell the story and tell it whenever we have an opportunity? Or are we like many people who don't seem to talk much at all about the story? We love to do all kinds of other talking. Some people talk incessantly and look around and listen. It's not all good talk either. And it's not all beneficial. How many times do you see people as you're riding down the road with one of these things? And generally, they're riding down the road, not driving like this. They're driving like this. I just don't know. That cell phone must weigh a whole lot more than mine. But they're constantly on the cell phone, or even worse, what else are they doing with a cell phone? Yeah, text messaging. Can't wait just however few minutes it takes to get to where you're going, or even to a stoplight, to begin texting. Talking too much. We have talk shows. The airwaves are filled with talk shows. I don't watch very many of them and only watch a few moments. I do sometimes if I'm around when Dr. Oz is on Oprah. That's about the only time I watch Oprah, is when Dr. Oz is on there, because you know, he's the doctor, and a lot of times he brings all these body parts, you know, and uncovers them, and the audience goes, but you know, I think that's kind of cool. But we have talk shows everywhere. Talk shows on radios. And quite frankly, if you listen to them, and even those on radios, a lot of what is being said, I would have to go back to my song You talk too much, you worry me to death. Much of it is simply inane chatter. But how often do we really speak up about what we believe and what we say? I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory, but what about here? That story may be our theme in glory, but what about here? I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. If it's true, then why do we not tell it any more than we do? It's important news if we believe when we must speak. And that's what Paul is addressing to the church at Corinth at this particular point in time. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul seeks to encourage the Corinthian church to not give in to persecution, but also not to give in to temptation. They've come through some tough times. Not only tough times of persecution and ridicule by others around them, but they've come through some tough teaching and scolding by Paul. For you see, they had allowed the culture around them and the former religions of which they had been a part to influence a lot of what they were doing. A lot of the ways that they did worship, a lot of the ways that they lived their lives outside. They even tried to incorporate some of the pagan practices from before, some of the Greek mystery religions, into their own religious practice. And Paul had to write harshly to them. In fact, actually, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is part of the fourth letter that Paul probably wrote to the church at Corinth. In 1 and 2 Corinthians, we have portions of at least four different letters that he wrote over a period of time. And 1 Corinthians is not the first one. We've mentioned this before, but Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5:9, I wrote to you about such and such, and now I am writing to you. Problem is, he wrote to them about some problems which involved sexual immorality and some other issues, and now he had to write to them again. And then later on in what we have as 2 Corinthians, toward the end of the letter, he has to write a harsh and threatening letter to them. And they finally get it, and they finally start living as they should. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we have part of his happy and conciliatory letter that he wrote to them. Now, some are still apprehensive about what they're supposed to do. And they're apprehensive about speaking out to other people with whom they come into contact. That is, speaking out about resurrection living. And so Paul encourages them to speak. And he even tells them that it is not for their sakes that, for his sake that he has been teaching them, it is for their sakes, and it's not for their sakes that they should speak out, but for the sake of others. Because if they truly believe, they should put their words and actions into words and acts of grace and love and sharing the promise of God in Christ. They're not to be fearful because resurrection faith is there to sustain them, to give them the strength and the courage to speak out. Paul could speak to this because think of how many times he himself had been persecuted and ridiculed and beaten and thrown in prison. And yet he found, even in the midst of those situations, strength daily to continue to speak. He had experienced the ridicule that they probably feared. That old saying, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never harm me. We all know that that's not necessarily the case. Words can hurt us sometimes worse than sticks and stones, because while those bones might break, they can heal. It takes a lot of work and a long time, many times, for the hurt from words to heal. And some of those words we're afraid of because we're afraid to be ridiculed, made fun of. And guess what? In the city of Corinth, as in many of the cities to which Paul had been, people laughed and ridiculed these little Christs, these Christians, incessantly. It wasn't just about being tortured and put to death physically. He encourages them as they speak to remember that if that happens, God's going to take care of them. But for many of them, it was almost a fate worse than death to be ridiculed. To be ridiculed for what they believed. But Paul, quoting here from Psalm 116, says, just as the writer said, I believed and so I spoke. He said, if you believe, it is your responsibility to speak. It's not just enough to believe it and hold it inside. It is your responsibility as a Christian to speak. There are four factors that Paul lists here early on in this passage that help uphold him, uplift him. The first is the foundation of his faith, believing that Christ was raised from the dead by God's power. Then he believes and is assured that Christ will raise him and bring him into God's presence. That takes great faith, that is belief plus action. To speak when one might be ridiculed, and to speak with the confidence that even though things might go wrong, because of God's power as seen in Jesus the Christ, you have that assurance that your faith will not be in vain. And so he encourages them when he says, so I believe and I speak to you, knowing that in that power that God has placed in Christ, he has a source of strength, a source of guidance, and a source of power, even when ridiculed. And so he says, it is our privilege not just to be saved, but it is our privilege, if we truly believe, and our responsibility to speak. The two go hand in hand. They're flip sides of the same coin. They are faith. Faith is not simply believing. Faith is believing and acting on that belief. And speaking is a part of that. Of course, even though Paul sometimes got harsh, and with the Corinthians and with the Galatians and a few places he got in their face, when we speak, we also need to remember it's important how we speak. I don't know about you, but when folks, especially religiously, when folks come up and they're in your face, that's more of a turnoff than anything else. In fact, sometimes you want to push them back and say, just get out here and leave me alone. So while when we believe and we have that confidence, that foundation, that forces us to speak, it's also just as important as to the manner in which we speak. A second factor that helped uphold him and that he was trying to use to encourage the Corinthians here, now that they have finally listened up, they've wised up, and they're living life more like they should, He said, knowing that God raised Jesus, therefore gives him confidence that God will raise him. First is believing that God raised Jesus by power, and that was available to him. And secondly is knowing that God raised Jesus, and therefore he has the assurance that God will raise him up. Now, yes, initially Paul is talking here about being raised from the dead regardless of the persecution. He's saying as a result of Jesus' resurrection, and because believers are united with him, then Jesus will remove all separation between you and God. And he will bring you or present you full salvation and perfect fellowship with God. And that is a part of looking forward, that pie in the sky by and by, or in the sweet by and by, that we think of, that home in glory that people talk about. But I think there is more to it than simply God will raise him up and will raise them up and bring them at the end. I think it's also intended for us to remember that just as God raised Jesus' spirits as he lived and was ridiculed and persecuted, just as God raised Paul's spirits as he lived and was ridiculed and persecuted, so anyone who is united with Jesus, God will raise us up as we daily live our lives if we will be faithful. He will breathe new life into us, not just once and not just for the end of time, but each and every day as we live. A third thing he mentions here in these verses, 13 to 15, is work has a purpose. His work has a purpose. Even if in the middle of that he is ridiculed, even if in the middle of that your co-worker says, "I can't believe you believe that." Only a fool would put that kind of faith in a God you can't see. As we said last week, I think it takes much more courage and much more work to follow God and believe in God and study and come to know God than the atheist who says, "Well, there is no God. I put mine in science because it's hard work and it pays off." No, that's the easy part. Not belittling sciences, because God gives us the ability to do that. God gives us the minds. God gives us the opportunities, and we learn great things from that. Healing takes place all the time. A lot of times it takes place through what doctors and nurses do, and that's a God-given talent. But it takes a whole lot more strength and stamina to study and to learn and to know God in greater ways as we grow. And that work, even if we are ridiculed for it, has a purpose. Paul says, "It is for your sakes, for your good, the good of those to whom we speak." That is the purpose behind it. God working in and through Christians is both a support and an encouragement to speak. It should give us support, knowing that God is there to help us with that purpose, but also to encourage us to speak for us and for the good of others. In fact, the increase of others in the kingdom of God is a reason or purpose for that work. And the fourth thing that lifts him up is that the work of speaking brings glory to God. It brings glory to God and increases joy in the kingdom of God. That was the fourth thing here that uplifts him and gives him that strength. While thanksgiving itself may not seem very profound, simply for making God known, it does mean that redemption is real and experienced when the kingdom of God increases. And that's a grand thing. And that gives even more encouragement to seek to live that purpose. In the following verses, verses 16 and following, he says, "So," that is, because of this belief, "we do not lose heart. For even though our bodies are dying, getting old, aches and pains, and they only increase when, by the way, thank you. I know some of you had other things, but for those who came and worked so hard yesterday at the work day, thank you. We got a lot accomplished, and some of you got even more accomplished because you are moaning and groaning even more than me today. But even though our bodies are dying, we're getting older, we have all these aches and pains and other things that come along, Paul says this is not the end. This physical body is not the end. And not just all for the future, when we do have our end and we come into God's full presence. But he says our inner man, our inner spirit is renewed every day. While our bodies may ache, if we truly study and learn and connect with Christ and that belief, then we both have a progressive growth, but we also find, secondly, each day God restores the resources of faith and courage and gives us the energy each day to move on and to go on. And that's part of what he's talking about, and I think a major part of what he's speaking of here, about this being renewed, our inner person is being renewed every day, he says. He's not just talking about the end of our lives, but he's talking about when we go to get up in the morning and we say, "Good Lord, it's morning," instead of "Good morning, Lord." The eternal weight of glory is what we find, a fullness that is massive and unfathomable, but not something, once again, that we have to wait for the end, but something that we experience even now, and that should give us even more encouragement to tell the story. Things seen include trials and struggles, but Paul says they don't control our life, or they shouldn't, not if we are Christ's. But rather we look to the things that are unseen, the realities of Christian faith, Christian fellowship, and life with the Spirit. For you see, we are God's workmanship. And as such, God renews that workmanship for a purpose. So my question, do you really believe? Do you really believe? If so, then you must speak. But don't worry them to death. Share your words with love and grace, not in your face, but holding fast to the knowledge and the growth of God's love and grace that is in you and for you and for others. Love to tell the story, that others may come to know the story and believe and speak. May we pray? Our gracious God, we do come before you humbled by not only the privilege you give to us, but the responsibility that we have. That if we truly believe, we are called upon to speak and to share. Help us to share that word with love and grace. Help us to share that word in the same way that you did, with tenderness. Help us to share it even when sometimes it brings ridicule, for we know that there is your purpose, redemption of the world, and that we are a part of it. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn number 739. And it asks the question that goes along today, why do I sing about Jesus? Our altar is open for any decision that you might make for Christ, first time publicly, to become part of the ministry in and from this place by fellowshipping and joining with this congregation. Or to renew yourself to sing about Jesus each and every day. Hymn number 739.